And if you give Dave Funk your keys, he'll go out in about 15 minutes and start warming up the cars, I believe. And we ask him really nice. Oh, man. I hope the communion today was memorable for you. Not because of anything I said or did. I hope that when you hold those symbols, it just reminds you of why you're here. I hope so. I hope that after years and years of being a part of communion, it doesn't lose that feeling when you remember the sacrifice and when you remember the promise. I hope that's fresh for you every time. I hope so. Well, it's the last day of the year. So that means if you haven't chosen your New Year's resolution, you have a few more hours to do so. I don't know how many pounds you plan on losing this year. Something happens when you hit a certain age and then your goal is to put the pounds back on. I haven't hit that age yet. But I hope that if you've chosen something this year, maybe you've chosen to read more. I don't like reading that much, so that's not for me. But if you've chosen, what else do people choose, Dave? What's your New Year's resolution? Have you made one yet? Yeah? He's going to read the Bible this year. That's excellent. As a church, we don't often talk about our New Year's resolution, do we? But I thought on New Year's, this would be a good opportunity for us to talk about uniting our direction, choosing our focus. What's our target? What's our goal? And then discussing how can we accomplish that. When you begin to talk to people about their New Year's resolutions, often the most common one is their health. And when you talk to them about how they plan on fulfilling this New Year's resolution, how do you plan on seeing this through? If your goal is to be 10 pounds lighter by the end of the year, how are you going to do that? They begin to list off all the different areas of their lives that they're going to make a change to make this happen. They're going to change their schedule. They're going to change their shopping and their spending. They're going to change their attitude. They're going to change the amount of time they dedicate to certain tasks. Either you need to alter your schedule to leave time for exercise, or you need to shop for healthier food, or you need to take more time to prepare healthier food, or you need to spend money and go buy that fancy piece of equipment that keeps flashing on the TV screen. But when you set your goal, all the rest of your decisions begin to line up with it. And I think as a church, if we are going to set a goal together, that'll unite the decisions and the choices that we make. And my fear is if our hearts and our minds are not united in what we're trying to do, that our decisions, that the things that we lead and the ways that we serve won't be united towards that same goal. So when you dream about the future of Bridgeway, what do you see? And today in the sermon, there's going to be time for you to think about that. Because often we preach through the story so quickly that we don't even give you time to think about it. But what is your dream for the future of Bridgeway? What should our New Year's resolution be? What should our focus be? And I'm not saying that I want you to take the place of the elders. The elders provide vision for us. But how can you build onto that? What is an area or a dream or a vision that you've had? And how can we make that happen this year? When I think about our church, I think about all the different ministries. I think about the Sunday school and the MOPS, and the youth group, local outreach or world missions. You think about the worship. You think about the ushers and decorators. You think about kids' clubs. You think about senior moments. You think about the deacon ministry. You think about men's ministry, women's ministry. There's more. Are we united in what we're trying to accomplish? Or are we scattered? And we are reaching out to different groups. We're not all ministering to the same people, but is our focus, is our goal, is our target the same thing? It's just like losing weight. If your goal is to lose 10 pounds by the end of the year, and you're going to spend money to buy a large machine to help you do that, but the rest of you doesn't line up with that. If you're still eating the same food, and if you're not dedicating that time in your schedule to be healthier, then will purchasing that machine do you any good? But if all of those line up, if what you're spending on and the things that you're dedicating your time to, when they all line up together, that's when it happens. And I think about all these different leaders that we have in our church. What are they dreaming about for this next year? What's their hope for the future? 1 year from now, what would they like to see accomplished in our church? My fear is that we can be doing good work, but not doing that work together. And if that good work is scattered, I think we lose our ability to be effective. And it comes back to our hearts and to our minds. When I was reading through Matthew this week, and I landed in chapter 6, I found two stories that I think so clearly illustrate the need to have minds and hearts that are united in what we're trying to do. I think these stories are so clear that when our hearts and our minds are divided, we fall away from what we're here to do. If you brought your Bible, I want to read this story with you. So open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. And if you did not bring your Bible today, I'm going to read the story so you can hear the story. When Jesus was speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount, you have to imagine what that would have been like. Hundreds, possibly more, people gathered together. Jesus, his disciples, the crowd. They've come to listen to this preacher preach, this rabbi, this teacher teach. Jesus is on the side of this hill and he's speaking to them. And he begins to speak about the way things used to be. Marriage, prayer, fasting. He begins to go through the most important aspects of a good Jewish person's life. And he begins to turn them upside down. He said, before murdering someone was killing them. He says, now murdering someone is hating them in your heart. And he goes on and on. He said, before adultery was sleeping with someone else's wife. He goes, now it's the attitudes, the thoughts that you have inside your heart. Now, instead of punishing your enemies, spend time praying for them. And he goes through this list. And he comes to treasure in heaven. And this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And Jesus says to this crowd, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen to that verse one more time. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, How great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Why would Jesus take this opportunity when speaking about the old covenant, when speaking about prayer and fasting and marriage? Why would he take this opportunity to say to them, I have financial advice, listen carefully? Why would he do that? Because this has so little to do with their money and so much to do with their heart. Just like how murder, just like how adultery, just like how fasting and prayer, it was going to come back to the attitude of their heart. And he says the same is for treasure. Place your treasure in heaven. Because where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. Don't be deceived by the love of money and place your treasure where it shouldn't be. It will draw away your heart. And I think as a family, we need to have our hearts united, focused together on the same thing. So this year, I'm going to be reflecting on my own treasure, my own heart. And I hope that you take the time as well to ask yourself, where is my heart? Where is the heart of this church? Where is my treasure? And have I divided myself? Have I been trying to serve two masters? Have I been trying to serve and be faithful to God, but in the meantime, I've also been serving this. I've also been placing my treasure more in this. Often, when you speak to pastors, they hate to speak on any story that involves money. There's such negative connotations when we speak about it. Sometimes the church can have a stereotype. It can have a reputation for being people that beg and beg, guilt people for money. I'm here to tell you that I'm not trying to guilt you for any money. And sometimes they assume the pastor will have false motives because the church pays for my house and pays for my food. So maybe the pastor is trying to lure money out of people. No. No, this is about your heart and this is about my heart. You could pay me $10,000 or $100,000. It doesn't matter. It's where your heart is. That's where you place your treasure. And if something in your life has been pulling away your devotion to God, it's been pulling your treasure away, has it pulled your heart away? How can we as a church unite our hearts? How can we do that? And our minds. The very next story says, do not worry. If you're following along here, we're at verse 25 now. We're going to read to 34. Jesus said this to the crowd. He said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Could any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, they use him as an example because he was the wealthiest man ever recorded in the Bible. Not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? The pagans run after these things. You hear that? The pagans run after these things. and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is speaking to this crowd of people, this people, everyday people that are living life in the world with everyone else. And he says, do you see the things that they're chasing after? Do you notice what the pagans are running after? What are they running after? Their food, their clothes, their daily needs. They chase that stuff. It is so important to them, so important. That's what they run after. But you, don't worry about that. That's not your first priority. What's your first priority? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All the rest, he'll add to you. He knows these things. Do you not think the Father knows your needs? He takes care of the grass. He takes care of birds. Does he not care about you? Why would you dedicate your life to running after things that God has already promised to give you? Why wouldn't you dedicate yourself to something greater than that? Seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these people are spending their treasure and placing their treasure in these things that they run after. These things will have no value. Just like grass, it's here one day and the next day you hit it with the lawnmower and it's gone. That's why you spend money painting the side of your house, not painting your grass. Because one day the grass is here and the next day gone. Where is your mind? What has drawn your attention? As a family even, have you spent time asking yourselves, are we seeking first God's kingdom? Are we seeking first his righteousness? Or have we become distracted? Have our minds got drawn to other things, to earthly things? Do we start placing our treasure in the wrong things, then our mind is drifting that way? Here's a tougher question. What does it look like to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness? Tangibly, what does that look like? What will that look like for you this next year? If you were to say today, Darren, I promise, I'm going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Okay? How does that look any different? What does that look like? Well, that's where we're going to ask ourselves these questions right now. What is our vision for 1 year from now? What will be our New Year's resolution? Have you thought about this? What do you want Bridgeway Church to look like in 2018? Or where do you want your family to be spiritually 1 year from now? I'm going to give you 30 seconds. And this is going to be quiet. And ask yourself, where would you like to see either your family or where would you like to see our church 1 year from now? The second question is this. How can you get involved to make that happen? Because it's very easy to come up with an idea and then try to do what? Pass it off to someone else. I want to see this church change the city. Here you go. Go change the city. What is one way you can get involved to carry that vision forward this year? I just thought of a few examples this week as I was preparing the sermon. Things like local outreach projects, kids clubs, a leader for world missions, maybe supporting the men's and women's ministry, getting involved with the deacons or with the senior moments. Is there a tangible way that you can do something this year to help move that vision forward? If you want to see this church spend more time caring for the lost, how can you help us do that? If you want to see this church spend more time ministering to the kids in our community, how can you help this year to do that? If you want the preaching to improve, how can you this year do something to help improve that? Or the music, or the decorations, or anything. You think about, man, I would just love to see this happen. How can you get involved to help? We often use the phrase glorifying God and making Him known. It's our mission. You'll notice it's on the top of every bulletin. If you have a bulletin beside you, you are holding our mission, glorifying God and making Him known. And I'm here to tell you, we're not changing that mission today. But I'm asking you, how is God moving your heart to fulfill that this year? How are you going to help glorify God and make Him known? And if your answer is, I'm going to try to attend church off and on throughout the year, I don't know if that's what God is calling you to. He might be calling you to something greater than that. Well, I want to be here. Well, that's great. Are you involved in the family? What can you be doing? You say, Darren, I don't have anything to offer. Sure you do. Sure you do. Spending time with people and encouraging people. Praying for people. You might not be rich. That's fine. You might not have a lot of spare time. That's all right. But there's always a way to be involved. There's always a way to pitch in. What's harder is 5 years from now. Have you ever dreamt about 5 years from now and what Bridgeway could look like? You imagine the year 2022. Doesn't that sound weird? 2022. Where do you want our church to be in 5 years? What do you want to see happen in this city in the next 5 years? What do you want to see happen in the spiritual life of your family in the next 5 years? Take a moment and think about that. Five years from now, how are we going to have made a difference? Because if we sit here 5 years from now, and if Pastor Darren comes up to preach the message on New Year's Eve, and we say in 5 years, not much has happened, we're going to look back on today and think, boy, I wish we would have came up with something big. Maybe your vision for 5 years from now is a vision of growth. Maybe your vision of 5 years from now is a sanctuary full of people that you've shared your faith with. Maybe your neighbors that you've been praying for, maybe the people that you work with, you've been thinking, how could I share how much God loves me? How could I share that with them? How would they receive that? Maybe as you sat and you thought about 5 years from now, you thought, wouldn't it be neat if they were sitting up here with me? Wouldn't it be neat if they were here? If they knew how much God loved them? Not because we're trying to fill seats. Because one day we're going to dwell with our Lord and Savior. I want them to be there and experience that. 5 years from now, both my kids are going to be in school. I don't know where your kids are going to be in 5 years from now. Dwayne Smith's going to be alone on the farm 5 years from now. He'll have no workers. 5 years from now, what will life look like 5 years from now? Spiritually, as a family, what steps can you take today to make sure that 5 years from now, you are where you wanted to be? If you think to yourself, boy, I would just love to be a family that spends time in the Word and in prayer, start today. You think, Darren, we don't have time. Our kids are small. They're at that age where they consume all of our time. Okay? Well, start small. Start with 30 seconds. And read one Bible verse as a family. Or when you pray for supper, pray for one thing that you're all thankful for. Start small. Teach them from a young age that prayer is more than a nursery rhyme. But we are talking to Dad and Dad is listening. I don't know how you're going to do that. Pray at bedtime. Pray in the morning. As you give them their bath on Sunday morning, say, are we thankful for our bath? Yeah, we are. God has given us many good things. I put up some ideas on the screen of things you might have been thinking about 5 years from now. Maybe you want to be a leader of an action team or support the leader of an action team 5 years from now. Maybe you're going to be sharing your faith with people in your life, reaching out to people in our community, the least reached people in our community. Maybe you'll be leading a life group or a Bible study 5 years from now. How can you get involved to help? I don't know all of your strengths and all of your weaknesses. I don't know all of your gifts, but you do. Or your friends do. So sit with them this week and ask your friends, what is a strength of mine that I am not using in the church? Because every week I come to church and I hold a bulletin that says I'm here to glorify God and I'm here to make him known. But I've been in Bridgeway 15 years and I don't think I've ever made God known to anyone. And if your friend is a good friend, they're not going to shake their finger at you and go, well, smarten up. They're going to say to you, all right, well, one of your strengths is encouraging people. Why don't you find a way that you can encourage more people in church? Or use your encouragement to people who do not know who Jesus are. Know who Jesus is and share your faith with those people. You know how heartbreaking it would be if we collected a room full of people who didn't at all carry out the mission on the piece of paper they hold every week? I'd rather have 100 people in this room who are passionate about glorifying God than 400 people who just don't care. I'd rather be a church that is broke and struggling with money but using it faithfully than a church with $1 million that squanders it. You need to understand that. I'm asking myself, as a husband, how can I be glorifying God and making him known in my family? How can I be doing that to the people I bump into every day? All right, time to dream big. 10 years. You ready? 10 years. The year 2027. We're going to have flying cars by then. 2027. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I want you to think, what do you want this church to look like? What do you want your family to look like 10 years from today? What is God saying to you about that? Go ahead. If you're a visitor in our church, maybe you're thinking about your own church back home. Maybe you're thinking about, where does God want my church back home to be 10 years from now? So what could God's vision be for us in 2027? What if it's multiplication? What if God's going to call us to plant a church? What if God is going to call us to reach this entire city? What if he wants half of us to go somewhere else and start a new family? What if he's going to multiply and grow this family beyond what we know? Who knows what it could be? How are we going to be glorifying God and making him known 10 years from now? Maybe God's going to stir your heart to become an elder or become a ministry team leader. Maybe you're going to be creating outreach programs that gets our whole church involved in our community. Maybe you're going to be finding ways to work with the other churches in our community to create service projects. Maybe all the churches in our city will be one church 10 years from now. I don't know. But there's thousands of people who do not know who God is. They think Jesus is a swear word. Doesn't your heart break for those people? We are celebrating hope. We're celebrating life. You held that promise in your hands, and they've never held that promise before. That's why you should be sharing the gospel. Not because the pastor preaches guilt and shame on you that you need to go tell everyone you know. It's because you've just held a promise in your hand that they have never held. And they might live their entire lives without ever holding that promise. That's so incredibly sad. They may never know the joy and comfort, the peace of having a relationship with God. But how can we look different 10 years from now? Maybe 10 years from now, God is going to give you a place in this church you never thought you'd have. Maybe you'll be a leader. You'll be an elder. You'll be leading worship. Maybe you'll be preaching 10 years from now. Maybe you're going to have your entire neighborhood over to your house, and you're going to become friends with every one of them. And shared your faith with them, invited them into your family, into your home. Maybe there's going to be daycares running out of this church, refugee families living with us. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe there's going to be a church plant, it'll be two bridgeways, because the Lord is going to move so powerfully through your obedient life that there'll be 1,000 of us 10 years from now. And on that day, if that were to happen, we wouldn't stand here and say, aren't we incredible? There's 1,000 of us now. We would say, isn't our God incredible? There's 1,000 people who know who he is. Isn't that incredible? So as we conclude today's message, as we bring it all together, I want you to dream. I want you to dream big. Maybe bigger than you've ever dreamt before. I constantly catch myself not dreaming big enough. If God is more powerful, if he's capable of more than I can imagine, I need to start living like that. If he has the ability to move throughout this entire city, sweep across this world, and display his glory to everyone, why don't I live like that? Why am I so afraid? Why do I think God doesn't have the power to do something incredible? If you think to yourself, I've been in this church for 40 years, not much has changed. Why do you think, Darren, things are going to change in the next 10 years? He's young, he's got energy, he has no idea what it's going to be like 10 years from now. When did you stop dreaming big? What is God's plan for our church? What does God want to see happen here in the next 10 years? How many people does he want to see baptized? How many people does he want to see receive communion? Not how many do you want to see baptized. How many does he want to see? open your eyes. Allow the Holy Spirit to move you to think like Him. What does God want to see happen? In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the call. What is God calling us, Bridgeway? What is God calling us to do? What's He calling you to do? Maybe you're young and you're in high school. What is He calling you to do? Maybe you're retired and God has given you a new group of friends to spend time with. What is He calling you to do? Maybe you're in the middle of your life and you're raising your kids or your kids are leaving and life is changing. What is God calling you to do? Where is your mind? Where is your heart? Where's your treasure? Where's your focus? Maybe this year you're not supposed to lose 10 pounds. Maybe you're supposed to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And God maybe has revealed to you a way to do that. Be faithful to that. Be faithful to that. So I want to pray over you before we go. And I'm going to pray big. I'm going to dream big, and I'm going to pray big. And I hope that if the Lord has moved you, if He's revealed something to your heart, if something today jumped out at you, either a year from now or 5 or 10, whether it's your treasure, the things that you worry about, if God has said something to you, be faithful to that. See it through. Don't forget about it on the way to the restaurant. See it through. Because I don't want to stand here a year from now and do this all over again. I love you guys. I want to change the world with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, give us eyes to see the world the way You see the world. Lord, give us the ability through Your Holy Spirit to have a heart that's in line with Your heart. Help us, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit to know Your desire and will for our church. Lord, show us where we've been disobedient. Lord, show us when we've placed our treasure in the wrong places. Spirit, show us when we've worried about things and focused on things that were a distraction to us. Lord, show us how we as a family can seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. Lord, may that be more than verses on a page. May that be the way that we live. God, how can I glorify You and make You known in my house? How can I glorify You and make You known at work or with my friends at coffee time? How can I glorify You and make You known at school? Father, unite this church under the banner of Your new covenant, under Your promise. God, unite this church. Show them what their goal is. Show them what their focus is. Your kingdom and Your righteousness. Help us, Lord, to chase that passionately this next year. And to look back on today and go, wow, I'm so glad I made that decision that day. It changed everything for me. Or changed something small for me. I'm so glad I made that choice. Help us to support one another, God. Make this group of people a family. Help us to have each other's backs and to call each other and text each other and email each other and have coffee with each other and encourage each other and to help each other and equip each other to carry this mission out. Lord, You are wonderful. And my hope, Lord, 10 years from now is that our whole city knows who You are. And if they don't know who Bridgeway is, if they don't know who I am, that's okay. I want them to know who You are. I want to meet them one day in heaven. I want them to know, Lord, the hope and the peace and the joy that we have in You. Father, be with these people. Be with this family as they go home today, Lord. Keep them safe as they drive. And stir their hearts to do something incredible. You are a good God. You are worthy of all the honor and glory and praise that we have. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you this next year. You're dismissed. We'll see you next week.